beginnings are always auspicious. There's a sense of freshness, and we're eager to chart out the new course of the new book and the new parsha, Shemos, the second book of the Torah, Exodus, as it is known. This is the year 5767. The title of our class this year, our approach to the Chumash, is Conversations with Hashem. We are fortunate today. Sometimes in the Parshios we were a bit pressed to find a conversation with Hashem. In this Parsha, there is no lack. There are several places in the Chumash where there is a long, drawn-out, back-and-forth dialogue between Hashem and a person. One such dialogue happened in Parshas Vayera. If you recall, with the city of Sodom, Hashem was going to destroy the city. And Avraham steps forward and pleads with Hashem and negotiates with Hashem to spare the people in the merit of righteous ones that would be found. It was a very, very long back and forth. How about 50? Okay. How about 45? Okay, 45. How about 40? Remember that dialogue? That was what I would consider a very, very significant and long conversation. Parsha Shmos has such a conversation. Maybe it's even longer. The sages, the commentaries tell us that this conversation between Moshe and Hashem went on for 7 days. We're very familiar with how the conversation begins. It begins with a burning bush. The burning bush was just the icebreaker. It got Moshe to notice. Hashem appeared to Moshe in the desert where he lived near Midian in a burning bush, and Moshe was intrigued. Moshe went to see why the bush was burning and it wasn't consumed, and Hashem starts talking to him. He introduces himself. This is really chapter 3. I'm not going to read through the entire story with you, but just pick out some of the highlights. The conversation in the Art Scroll Chumash goes on from page 301 till page 311. A conversation between Moshe and God. We're not talking about God blessing Moshe. We're talking about a conversation, back and forth. So what are they talking about? The conversation begins when Hashem says the words, Moshe, Moshe. And Moshe says, Hineni, here I am. That is a very, very romantic conversation. Rashi says that whenever a name is called out twice, it is a calling of love. And here I am is a response of love. He accepted on the first try. And Hashem introduces himself as the God of your father, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe was awestruck. Hashem immediately turned to the matter at hand. I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have heard its outcry because of its taskmasters, for I have known its sufferings. I shall descend to rescue it from the hand of Egypt and to bring it up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, the outcry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And now go, and I shall dispatch you to Pharaoh, and you shall take my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The rest of the conversation is comprised of Moshe asking a series of questions as to his worthiness, why is he being chosen, what is the purpose of Hashem's rescuing the people, how will Moshe succeed in speaking to the Pharaoh? The fact that Moshe is perhaps less than fully confident in his ability to speak because of his speech defect, which he acquired as a young child. And every question that Moshe asked, Hashem answered. He asked, how will the people believe? How will Pharaoh believe? How will the people believe? Every question he asks, Hashem has an answer. Seemingly, he waits patiently. He is not put off by any of the questions. None of the questions are blamed to be blasphemous. No problem. You have a question, here's the answer. There's one statement that Moshe makes at the end of the conversation. Please, my Lord, send through whomever you will send. Rashi interprets the commonly held interpretation. Moshe was saying, send someone else. Send Aaron, my brother. Here, Hashem doesn't have a calm answer. Here, the wrath of Hashem burned against Moshe. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he will surely speak. Moreover, behold, he is going out to meet you. When he sees you, he will rejoice in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I shall be with your mouth and with his mouth and teach you both what you are to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and it will be that he will be your mouth and you will be his leader. The answer that Hashem, or the response that Hashem gives him, is not so clear from reading the text. According to Rashi, once again, Hashem is saying to Moshe, you have just made a choice to really turn down my assignment. And because of that, you will be demoted. Rather than being the speaker to Pharaoh, you have turned it down, and it will thus go over to Aaron. Hashem did not say this in a measure of disappointment, of displeasure. I would like to come back to that and say, why was Hashem angry if he wasn't angry at any of the other questions? So this is a wonderful conversation. It's an initiation, inauguration, really, of the relationship being created between Hashem and the Jewish people through Moshe. Before we get back to the conversation, I would just like to talk about some basics first, because we are starting a new Chumash. One of the great rabbinic leaders of recent times in this country, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, was quoted as saying, one of the greatest tragedies of Judaism is that we learn Chumash at age 55 the same way we did when we were 5. Some people did not have the opportunity, the privilege, to learn the Torah even at age 5. But I think we could safely say that most Jews who have any interest at all in Judaism are familiar with the story of the Exodus from Egypt. After all, it is the subject of the Pesach Seder. What does the story, in a nutshell, of the Exodus told at the Pesach Seder about? How does the story go? I'll tell the story in about 25 words or less. And please tell me if that's your version of the story. The Egyptians were very bad to us. Hashem, or God, brought 10 plagues to punish them, and he took us out of Egypt to be free men. The end. Let's eat. How many people here, by show of hands, heard that story or something similar at the Seder or as a 5-year-old or older growing up? Does anybody think that this is a misrepresentation of the story? That's basically it? Okay. Why does the Seder take so long then? I never understood it. Okay, we're now 55. How would we appreciate that version of the story now? I would like to pose a few questions that I would ask if I were listening to that story. Number one, the tradition tells us that the Jews were suffering in Egypt, or in Egypt, for 210 years. It's safe to say that for probably about half of them, they were not under terrific suffering. Many of those years, Joseph was alive. He was known as the brother of these Jews, and he was held in such high esteem. The Jews lived in a very nice part of town in Goshen, and they were treated well, and they prospered. So let's assume that they weren't suffering for the entire time. But they were suffering for quite a significant number of those years. Why did God wait so long to take the Jewish people out of Egypt? That's question number one. Question number two. Did Hashem not foretell to Abraham, and it's written in the Chumash, that this is going to happen? Why was this story, this incident, this Egyptian exile, predestined? Do we ever ask the question, why were the Egyptians so bad to us? I want to know, why did it happen? Why, God? And it almost sounds like you wanted it to happen because you told Abraham that it's going to happen. It almost sounds like you planned it. I'd like to know more about why this happened in the first place. I would like to know, why did Hashem decide to rescue us at all? What did he have in mind for us? The story goes, he took us out of Egypt to be free men. Free for what? Did he have a plan for us? Another question I'd like to ask is, why is Moshe so prominent in the account of the Exodus in the Chumash, and yet his name doesn't appear in the Haggadah? Think about it. I think once it does in a verse which is quoted as part of the praises, but in terms of the narrative, Moshe's name is not mentioned. Another question, my second to last question, why when we do mitzvos, such as making Kiddush, observing Shabbos, holidays, are we always saying Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, in commemoration and in remembrance of the Exodus of Egypt? Why do we have an obligation to say every day when we read the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim? We have to repeat, we are obligated to say that God took us out of Egypt. Why do we have to do that every single day? And the final question, and this is a little bit more abstract, what does the episode of the Exodus from Egypt have to do with a basic understanding of Judaism? We in this class have been studying the Torah for a long time now, thank God, and we have become familiar with a certain explanation, a fundamental explanation, based on the writings of Rabbi Luzzatto, accepted universally, that the purpose of life is for man, or a segment of mankind, to form a meaningful and a very, very strong connection with God by choosing good over evil, mind over desire in many cases, and that the chief vehicle for doing this is the Torah, receiving the Torah and committing ourselves to studying and observing the Torah. That is basically our understanding of our purpose here, to connect to God by choice, using the Torah as our guide. Where does the story of the Exodus from Egypt fit into that? Why is that such an important story that we come back to year after year and day after day? What does it really have to do with the main purpose? Why is it so central? Now we're talking about a much, much longer Seder. If we answer all these questions, we're never going to eat. But the truth is that I think that we can answer these questions pretty much with one perspective or one insight that I believe will give us a different understanding and appreciation for what our cherished mission as the Jewish people is. Yes, the truth is that the most important thing is for the Jewish people to connect to God through the Torah. This was stated to Moshe, in fact, when Moshe, in this conversation, one of the questions he asked, again, interpreted by Rashi, is, V'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim, that I should take the children of Israel out of Egypt? Says Rashi, what have the Jewish people done to deserve such a miracle? God answered, V'zeh lecho ha'os ki anochi shalachticha, v'otziacha esa'a mimitzrayim, tavdun eso elokim al ha'har hazeh. This is your sign that I have sent you. When you take the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Says the commentary Rashi, this is the answer to the question. The question of Moshe was, what have the Jewish people done to deserve such a miracle? The answer is, they are destined to receive the Torah on Mount Sinai within 3 months after leaving. Why did this all happen? Why did God take us out? One of our questions, to give us the Torah. So why do we have to go through it all? Hashem could have waited till we had multiplied, until there were the quota, 600,000, let's say, and then just taken us out of Egypt, brought us to the mountain. The answer is because the Torah has to be accepted. Remember, it's man's choice to accept it. Why in the world should man accept the Torah? What does he need it for? It's just a lot of obligations. It limits my choices. It puts a damper on my lifestyle. I'm talking about Judaism in any time and place. I don't particularly want to do all those things. Well, because God said so? Who's God? As Pharaoh said, who is God? Why should I listen to him? So the Jewish people could say the same thing. Well, listen to your teacher. Listen to Moshe. He is a trustworthy prophet. He is transmitting exactly what God said. Well, why should I listen to Moshe? In fact, if I feel that my life is fine the way it is, why would I want to accept anything else? This is the reason for the story of the Exodus. You see, the Jewish people were left on their own to live an existence of a godless life. After the rich era of the patriarchs and the tribes were gone, they were just left on their own. No Torah, no leadership. They were just left to be swallowed up in the Egyptian culture, come what may. First, they were treated as citizens. After that, they were treated as strangers. After that, they were made to work. After that, they were oppressed. You know, they were different. They were the Hebrews. Their life started to become miserable. Now, they didn't think it was so miserable, as evidenced by the fact that for many, many years, they just bore it. They lived with it. But in this parsha, we have right before the discussion, the conversation with Moshe, it says the following. This is probably the turning point. Vayehi bayomim harabim hohem, chapter 2, verse 23. Vayomas melech mitzrayim, vayeon chu b'nei yisrael minhu avodah, vayizaku, v'tal shavasam elhu elokim minhu avodah. During those many days, it happened that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the work, and they cried out. Batal shavasam el elokim inu avodah. Their outcry because of the work went up to God. Vayishma elokim es na'akasam, vayizkor elokim es briso, es Avraham, es Yitzchak, v'es Yaakov. God heard their moaning, and God remembered his covenant with Avraham, with Yitzchak, and with Yaakov. Vayar elokim es b'nei Yisrael, vayeda elokim. God saw the children of Israel, and God knew. He heard their moaning, he remembered his covenant, he saw the children of Israel, and he knew. He knew what they were going through. Immediately, Hashem picks up the phone, and he calls Moshe, and he says, let's get to work. So our first question against the Sunday school version was, why did God wait so long? He waited until they groaned. He waited until they realized that they have a problem. He waited until they felt that their life was lacking something. As soon as they groaned, they weren't praying. They weren't davening to Hashem. They were just groaning. Oy! As soon as they said, oy, Hashem came to their rescue. As soon as they said, oy, he called Moshe Rabbeinu up from the farm league, and he brought him over to Egypt. And they got to work on the redemption. It took a year from that point. That was the year in which the plagues were performed. A year later, they were out. The reason why Hashem was waiting was because if they didn't need anything, if they were happy with living their life as it was without God, why would they want to engage in a new life with God? What is he going to do? Take them out of Mitzrayim to the mountain and say, accept 613 commandments? Why should I? Who are you? But now, they know who he is, because he took them out of their trouble. Let's say somebody were to ask you, who is God? You know what would be the best description? God is the one that says, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I have heard its outcry because of its taskmasters. I have known its suffering. I shall descend to rescue it, to bring it up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Can you think of anything more compassionate, more loving, more protecting, more providing than that? You know who God is? God is the one who takes us out of our suffering. Who is Moshe? Moshe is God's assistant. He spends day and night helping, taking us out of our suffering. When Hashem then asked at Har Sinai, would you take the Torah? They know who it's coming from. It's coming from their loving Father. It's coming from their Redeemer, from their Rescuer, that when they did not have any place to turn, God stepped in and redeemed them immediately. And when Moshe comes down and says, okay, everybody, I've got a lesson from God, they're going to listen. Because this is the leader who works with our Father, and he's teaching this with the same love. And the purpose of the Torah is for the same love to provide us with the best life, a life that will spare us from all that godlessness that we experience in Mitzrayim. This is the introduction to the giving of the Torah. It's the story of the Exodus from Egypt. When we do a mitzvah, and we think to ourselves, why do I got to do this? We have to remember Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we're doing it. Because if Hashem told us that it's good for us, we trust Him. Because He took us out of Mitzrayim, we remember that. We're going to have to always remember that, because the minute that we forget how God took us out of Mitzrayim, we forget why we want to keep the Torah. We lose that choice to do it, and therefore we lose our connection to God. So the story of the Exodus of Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the main purpose. It is about connecting with God through the Torah, because in order to study the Torah, we have to remember why we want to listen to it. Does this answer our questions? Why did he wait so long to take us out? He was waiting until we realized that we needed something. Why did Hashem tell Abraham that we would have to endure this exile? Because this was a necessary prerequisite for us to accept our mission and the Torah. Why did he take us out? What did we do afterwards? We got the Torah at Har Sinai. We accepted our mission. Why is Moshe so prominent in the story, yet not mentioned in the Haggadah? You see, this is my thought. Hashem didn't really need Moshe to get us out of Mitzrayim. He could have done it without Moshe. Moshe's primary role is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's our teacher. The Torah has to be studied from a teacher. And the reason why Moshe is involved in the story of the Exodus is so that he gains our love and respect, so that he will be accepted by us as our teacher. So it's not really so crucial when you're studying the Haggadah to know about Moshe. Who saved us? Not Moshe. Who saved us was Hashem. We need Moshe later. When we start to study the Torah on Shavuos, then we need Moshe. Why must we remember the story of the Exodus every time we do the mitzvahs? We explained that as well. Because the story of the Exodus will always be the foundation for our belief in God, for our acceptance of God, and for the Torah. And this is something, by the way, that applies all the time. We have to contemplate, just as God was our Redeemer in Mitzrayim, He is our Redeemer every day, in every period, in every era. Whatever it is, whether it's our health, whether it's our wealth, whether it's our family, whether it's where we live, whether it's our abilities, we have to remember, where did it come from? God is the provider. And when we remember that, we have the proper hakaras hatov, the proper gratitude, we will always reaffirm and recommit to why we are keeping the Torah. I just want to end off with a little insight from the conversation. We mentioned that Moshe had a bunch of questions concerning the Jewish people and the mission. They might not believe. Hashem said, I'll give you an answer. He showed him some signs to perform before them. He said, I'm not so worthy. He said, I'll be with you. You don't have to be worthy. I will stand by you every step. He said, but Hashem, I have a speech problem. He said, who do you think gives man speech in the first place? I'll take care of that. You'll be able to speak fine. Remember, every question had an answer. When it came down to the last comment, send somebody else, Hashem got angry. Why? Because Hashem understands that the task is difficult. Hashem understands that it's difficult to have faith, that we need a boost. We need miracles sometimes to get us motivated. We need a lot of help in that area. Hashem knows that we're not always so worthy, and so He needs to say, don't worry, I'll help you even if you're not worthy. Hashem knows that we sometimes fall short of the abilities that it takes to study or to perform the mitzvahs. He says, don't worry, I'll help you. All of those things Hashem can help. If we say, I can't do it, He'll help us. If we say, I don't know how to do it, He'll help us. There's one thing He can't help us. If we say, I won't do it. If we say, I won't do it, get somebody else, He can't help us with that. Because that's our choice. That's really the only thing that we're responsible for, is to make the choice and to commit ourselves to try. If we commit ourselves, He can help us everything else that needs, through His teachers, through His agencies. Hashem has many messengers to help. He cannot help us make the choice of commitment. That has to come from us. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlach na b'yad tishlach, send somebody else, Hashem got angry. He says, Moshe, if you say that, there's no hope. I'm going to get somebody else to do it. If you don't accept it, I'll have to get somebody else who will. That's our choice. Hashem provides for everything else. We provide the willingness, I will. It's okay to say I can't. It's okay to say I don't know how. But it's not okay to say I won't. That's our parsha. That is the introduction to the story, the long story of the Jewish people. It is the introduction to how we go on further. Made this initial bond with God. We met Him under the identity of love, of hearing and knowing our travails. God is there because He sees our suffering. Now we know who God is. Now the rest is open before us. Shabbos.
Shabbos is cool.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.